Open your Bibles, please. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 9 in 1 second. Father, we thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for helping us examine ourselves and also how to deal with intrusive, abusive people, people that are hurting and harming us in some way. Everybody's going through things in this hour and more to come in the future as it seems like the darkness is setting in. Help us, Lord, to be right with you and to be right with our fellow man, to have a conscience void of offense. We ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to talk this morning about evening to some of you. Dealing with abusive people. We could all say we've had abusive people, and some of them were your parents. Some of them were your bosses. And a lot of the people you met that were abusive were in churches, in the system. Let's call it the system. So today we want to talk about dealing with abusive people or people that misuse you, people that mistreat you or treat you harmfully. And first of all, we just have to say a lot of people abuse because they've been abused. And hurt people hurt people, and that's why they continually hurt. If we've come from abusive families, we have to do a lot of work to not repeat the cycle of our parents and the way we were raised and how we were taught and some of the wounds that we have. The Lord helps us see them, and that's why we need friends. We need friends to help us see the blind spots in our life and to find the safe people in our life and also deal with the narcissistic people and narcissistic abuse. I've got about 5 narcissism YouTubes there if you want to look at those. That's another whole abusive type personality that's increasing. It seems like it's increasing in the world. It's increasing everywhere in the church, in leadership. And abuse, basically, if you look at that word abuse, you'll see the word bus. Abuse, A-B-U-S, bus. And when you're in abusive situations, they throw you under the bus. It's kind of a way. And many people are used to abuse because they were treated that way, and then they end up marrying somebody that abuses them because that's all they know. And they don't know how to get out of the cycle. And then they have families, they abuse their children, and it continues. And no one breaks the cycle because nobody will repent. And we have to repent and not get a hard soul and justify our sins and justify and just think this is just the way I am, this is the way I was raised, but always trying to examine ourselves, first of all, before we try to blame other people, we have to see, are we abusing anyone? So we're going to kind of go through that. But abuse is when someone violates your boundaries and causes a deep wounding. Victims of abuse, you can tell someone's been victimized by an abuser is because usually they're very easily angered. They're very easily upset because they lived in survival mode of that abusive person, and so they've built up a self-protection and walls that if somebody criticizes them, they put up a defense right away, and you're like, wow, what happened with that guy or what happened to her? It's because they are probably victims of abuse, and they've learned to put up that defense to protect themselves around the abused people, and now it's kind of become a way of life for them. And if that's you, we have to kind of dig deep, because anger is really a sign of deep hurt. First, there's a deep, deep wound there that you're protecting, and people can't get close to you if you keep walling them out. So someone violated your boundaries, and you can tell these victims by early anger. They get very angrily, really upset. And then we have to ask ourselves, are we confrontable? Are we approachable? Or are we putting up walls that make people say, don't let, you know, your opinion doesn't count. I'm above you. I'm more spiritual than you. And this is what people do that really have a low self-esteem. Because they weren't validated by their parents, they're seeking validation through wisdom and through knowledge. And knowledge alone, what does it do? It puffs us up and it makes us very arrogant. So usually in early stage, or victims of abuse are easily angered. They have extreme anxiety or fear. Usually you see a group that's very angry, very touchy, very unapproachable, and the other ones that are people pleasers that are extremely fearful and anxious because they respond differently to their abuse, and fear and anxiety is how they've learned how to wall themselves in, and they don't even realize they're doing it. People that have been abused, these are survival modes that they've just learned to cope with life. When you're in trouble, when you're around somebody that's violating your boundaries. Another one, they see everything negatively. It's really hard to see positive when their life has been very negative. Then they have a hard time saying what they really need or want because they don't want to really put anybody else out because they weren't validated, they weren't appreciated, they weren't loved really the way they should have been, so they don't think their needs count. And then when you don't think your needs count, you don't want to bother anybody. So you don't know how to tell people, this is what I need. You end up becoming a rescuer or trying to solve everybody else's problems to really help yourself. So a lot of these things are revealed to us as we grow in the Lord. In 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil or did me a great harm. Even back then, when the Bible is written, we see wicked people. We see abusive people. We see people that are troubled, that are angry, that want their way. He did me much harm. The Lord reward him according to his works. And this is the other thing where vengeance is the Lord's. But how do we deal with this? I mean, this is stuff that we should have learned in school. How do you deal with your playmates? How do you deal, Sally, how do you deal with Jane? Nobody ever talks about relationships. Just figure it out. And as a result, people are a mess. And then they go to churches, and then you see narcissistic leaders. And if you're used to an abusive father, you just love those narcissistic pastors because that's what you're familiar with. That just, I'm used to being whipped. I'm used to being told I have to do this and this and this. And that kind of follows my family line. But here in 1 Peter 4:15, it says, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody. Now, this is what we see a lot. Busybody. And what is a busybody in other people's business? It's a meddler. And what is a meddler? It's someone that interferes or intrudes without an invitation. Did we invite you to give us the answer? Because a lot of people are coming from these homes that they've been abused, that they meddle in, and there's a force about them. It's not a easy to be entreated. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a more dictatorial, it's more of a bossy, it's more of a proudful spirit rather than a humble, teachable spirit. And if we're to grow in the Lord, we have to always keep that stance of humility and of, I don't know it all, I could learn from you. But if you're an evil person, you don't think you're evil, but the Bible tells us that we're evil if we're full of pride and wicked. So we're interfering or intruding is the word without an invitation. And that word wicked, it's an old English word that from the word wicker. It's from the wicker furniture. It's a plant stem is bent or twisted to make furniture. So that wicked here means twisted or perverse. So here's the red flags that we're not teachable. And then kind of where the movements I came out of, we thought we knew it all because we knew about five verses. And so we really got arrogant thinking, well, we preach the Bible and no one else does. But there were so many scriptures and chapters that were never read, never taught on because it didn't follow, the five principles that give you success. So here in Proverbs 9 in verse 7, he that reproveth, or that word reprove means to correct. If you want to correct a scorner, what's a scorner? A scorner getteth himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Now, just for the record, none of us like correction. Our flesh does not like to be told what to do. We're all little controllers in our own world. We like things the way we like it. But then you have a family, And the mothers learn they can't even take a bath. It seems like I have no privacy. Everything gets invaded, and you just learn. So you got to put up boundaries. Time for yourself. What works for you? You have to learn to say, no, this does not work. And then if you're married to someone that's very dominating, a lot of people just allow that other dominant person to have that superior position, and they end up being controlled. They can't do anything without that permission from the other one. God didn't create us that way. He wants us to have, in marriage relationships, you should have a say. You shouldn't live in fear or anger of, oh, I'm going to upset them. I can't do this. I can't do that. And a lot of people live in fear because the payment of coming against that person is punishment, the silent treatment, or you're going to pay for this or whatever. And so a lot of people just cower back and they allow that other person to control you. And that's not healthy. We're going to talk about what is healthy, and we're all trying to grow into it. None of us have arrived. But here we're looking at what kind of people are in our life. What kind of friends do we have? What kind of friends have we let go from our life? What kind of people abused you? What caused harm in your life? Some people can pick a great car, but they can't pick a great friend. Do you choose people who abandon you, who neglect? Now, neglect is a very, it's abuse. If you leave, you have a garden and you never weed it, you never water it, you never take care of it, you abuse your garden. Well, people get married and they abuse their mate by neglecting them. They don't talk to them. They don't ask their opinion. They don't spend time with them. And many people, they're used to feeling, well, you know, my have such low self-worth that my opinion doesn't count anyway. And it seems like the victim and the abuser just have like a magnet towards each other. So we have to say, why am I picking the same kind of people all the time? They abandon you. They neglect you. They tear you down. They damage you. If you correct a mocker or a scorner, you're inviting abuse. You're inviting it. You're going to get a blot. Now, what's a blot? Have you ever had a blot from anybody? They threw you under the bus. In the whole narcissistic community, they call it the smear campaign. They destroy your reputation. Why? Because they have to look good. It's very important. Now, here's where we have to judge ourselves walking in the fear of the Lord. We don't have to win. We all like to win, but we don't have to win. We have to humble ourselves. You could be wrong. You could learn from this person. But there's people that they always take this position that they're superior, and a lot of it is the damage that they have because they've never been validated, and they're still trying to prove their own worth. So that you get a blot to smear or destroy your reputation. Now, we have to know that God created us to have fellowship and assembly with people. Even though people that you don't like, they rub you, sometimes good, and sometimes, you know, the cat has to turn around. Because God's created us to assemble with people, and we're all imperfect. We're all flawed. We all have warts, spiritually speaking. We all come from different backgrounds. And then God's like, okay, have fun. Have fellowship. Well, I don't like this one, and I don't like that one. But if God's put them in our life, many times there's something we need to learn, and we always have to keep a humble, teachable spirit, because God uses people to accept and validate you, and also to open your eyes to blind spots you don't see. If we could see, it wouldn't be a blind spot. And that's why many people get in accidents, is they have an accident in their blind spot. So God puts people in our life to help us, balance us out. We all need balance. We all need help. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, but we do need each other. Also to confront the denial in us. Because if you've been in abusive relationships or families, you're in most of the time denial. Because you don't want to face the reality of it. Oh, I was never abused. My dad was fine to me. My mom was great. And then you hear these horror stories. Well, someone's living in denial. They're not facing reality of what really happened. And then if you have some good friends, they'll help you pull you out of denial. So you don't keep choosing those wrong people in your life. But it's a journey. And also a lot of these narcissists personalities. Some are very blatant and others are covert. Some people you don't understand till you've been in relationship long with them. Some of the tricks that they pull out and some of the pain that they cause you. It's called life, right? Your bosses, your friends, your family. But good friends help you see you're in denial here. You need to face this. So we all need loving confrontations. Now, we don't like to be confrontational. We shouldn't have a bad spirit when we do it. But there's times you have to stand up and put up a boundary. So we try to do that the best we can. And boundaries, they protect us. And they stop us from walking into disasters. Your friends can tell you, you need to maybe say no, maybe you shouldn't be around this person, maybe this relative is really mean to you. It's okay to just take a distance. It's okay to take a break. It's okay, you know, this person is really consuming you right now. So we need friends to help us, and then we might have to confront. Some things you have to confront at some time or another when things start building up and bothering you. And none of us really enjoy confronting. If you do, there's probably something wrong with you. It's usually the last, but narcissistic people love to confront. They love to put you in your place. They love to make you feel bad. They always take a superior position. But as servants of the Lord, we should always keep a humble spirit. So let's check ourselves first. Are you confrontable? Are you approachable? Are people afraid to tell you what they don't like, or are they afraid? Ask yourself, am I approachable? Do I have an open door? If someone needs to come and talk to me, am I approachable? Abusive people, and the reason why they are abusive is because they refuse to take responsibility. They love to blame shift, and everything's your fault, or the other person's fault, or the this or that. And as a result of blame shifting, because they already feel so bad about themselves, they have a hard time looking at themselves rather than crying out and repenting, which we should always be doing. We should always have that repentant heart. They blame shift. What does that mean? They make excuses. And then they use the God card. Now, if there's one thing that really bothers me, being in the ministry now for over 40-some years, people say, God said, God said, God said, God said, Holy Spirit said. In 1 minute they say, God said this, and a week later, God said that. Is God confused? People that are insecure have to use that, because that way they don't take any blame. They take no responsibility for their... That's a dangerous person. When they can't repent, when they can't share their feelings, they don't know how to fix a relationship, they just discard you and throw you off, they take no responsibility. This is a very abusive person, because safe people take responsibility. I'm sorry if you feel that way. Yeah. I'm sorry. And we all can grow in these areas. These are nothing that we can all say, check, 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 check. But we grow and we learn and we help each other. But abusive people, if you're dealing with one right now, they never take responsibility. They blame. It's always your fault. They make excuses. They use these God cards as escapism, rather than really telling you how they feel. And that's sad, because people should be able to be honest and say, this is how I feel, rather than God said this. So that shuts the door, because who's going to argue with God? So abusive people attack the messenger. They attack. They discard. They become defensive. They put up walls and then they push back. Well, nobody wants to be in relationships or marriage with somebody that's defensive, that's going to attack, and that you can't be honest with, that can't share their feelings. But sometimes there's deep wounds that people have to really repent of. Just say, you know, Lord, I forgive my dad. I had to do this. My dad was a very abusive alcoholic, violent to some in our family, and I had to forgive him, and not just once. I wish I could say, oh, I forgive. But knowing what his past was, and I put myself in his shoes, and I am probably to a fault, mercy motivated, but I wasn't with him because I was hurt by him. And when you're hurt by people, sometimes you just cut them off. But then it was time that I had to deal with that hurt. And I cried all the way to Brainerd to go see him. And I cried, and I forgave him, and I repented, and had to give it to the Lord, Because when you've been in abusive relationships, especially if they're your parents, how do you honor them and respect them but still have a relationship? Well, there were 7 years I went without even talking to him because he was doing such bad behaviors, things and drinking that I just had to, I wasn't ready and I had to wait. But thankfully he got saved at the end of his life. Well, before the end of his life. But these are not easy situations to say, oh yeah, just do this and do that. It's a process. And we have to forgive ourselves. We have to forgive them. We have to ask God's help. And sometimes it's hard because you get abandoned again and it hits those abandonment issues. And then you feel like you just got sunk into a deep hole and you got to climb back out. But a righteous man falls 7 times and you get back up again. So it doesn't mean we're not going to fall again. It means we're going to get back up again with a lesson learned. And every time we make a mistake and we're right with God, we repent so we don't get a hard heart. There's a lot of people that are just hard-souled. They don't want to deal with, they don't care. That's why they have no empathy, because they're so hurt in their life, they don't want to deal with anybody else's pain. They've got so much of their own. And we don't want to end up hard-souled, because then we're not sensitive to other people. We're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're not sensitive to hear what we shouldn't do. We're just protecting ourselves at all times. And that is not how we are supposed to live. But a wise and safe person is confrontable and accepts feedback. I love people that when you can talk to them, they don't get mad, but they give you feedback. You know why? Because you only see one side of the mountain. I see another. And when we communicate, we see more. If you talk to the husband, he's got one side, and you talk to the wife, she's got another. And when you all get together, it's like, wow, there's a whole lot going on here that you didn't see. And history of families come into play here. So we need to own where we are wrong and not feel bad about ourselves. It's just like, okay, I missed it. I blew it. Lord, I confess this to you. Once again, here I come. I got angry, or I was anxious. I was this or that. And a lot of it does deal with our past, because if you were raised with normal people, what's normal? You wouldn't have as many insecurities. Yeah, since Adam and Eve, no one's normal. We're dealing with dysfunctional people, and so we have to learn how to function and deal with our own heart first, because we're wounded. We've been abused. We maybe are the abuser. Everybody listening here is coming from a different place, but we have to own where we're wrong. I blew it here. And as you're open to the Lord, he'll start showing you things. And as preparing this message, I started seeing things in my own life with one of my aunts. I won't go into it all, but it's like, I had no idea about this. You know, if you cut off relationships, you'll never know what really could have been if God was in it. But if you cut people off because they disagree with you, that's not a good discard. There's times that you have to walk away from abuse, but most of the time, a lot of us, if we're just trying to walk right, we're going to learn. And we keep learning, and we keep staying humble. So we need to own where we're wrong. As hard as it might be, we have to own it. Don't blame shift. Don't deny it. Don't rationalize why it's not as bad as... If that other person says you hurt them, you hurt them. Even if it's perceived and they're wrong, because a lot of people haven't dealt with their junk. So if you just try to approach them on something, they have not done enough inner work with their past and with their life, and they're still too not ready to deal with relationships. They won't have intimacy, because intimacy is into me see. And people don't want intimacy if they've been hurt. But if you don't deal with that, you're going to miss a lot of good people in your life. And nobody's perfect. And if you're very judgmental of everyone, you're not going to have friends with anyone. So we need to own where we're wrong. And if we are defensive, if we get defensive, we stick the other person with all the responsibility. It's always that other person's fault. It's always them. It's always them. Well, that's a problem with us, because then we're not dealing with our own heart, with our own feelings, with our own emotions. And then you can't put up proper boundaries, because proper boundaries, we have freedoms, we have choices, you know, so we have to own it. We need to spot abuse in ourselves and others. Abuse is about controlling the other person, and they have the right to tell the other person what to do and who to be. Unfortunately, I see a lot of marriages this way where there's one that's always right. There's one that has to bow to the other one. There's one, it's not a healthy relationship. It's one-sided because the other person has probably been very wounded, but they think they have the right. Now think about how God must hate this. This proud spirit of ruling and controlling the other person. So that person needs to repent. If the other person never has, and I'm thinking of somebody that they're in their second marriage now. Their first marriage was pretty balanced, but because they were abused, they didn't know how to handle it. They don't know how to handle somebody if they're not being abused or controlled or manipulated. So they got rid of that wife and got one that controls and manipulates them because that felt normal. So their picker is off because they pick abuse. But abuse is about controlling the other person. Ask yourself, am I controlling anybody? We all are probably a little more controlling than we know because we all can't understand where the other person's coming from. We want to do our routines. We want to do this or that. So we have to take a break and say, am I controlling my friends or my mate? Am I the bossy one? Does everything have to go my way? Because that's not healthy. So abuse is about controlling the other person, and they have the right to tell the other person what to do. And boy, have I seen a lot of this, not too long ago either. What to wear, what to be, what to say. Who wants to live with someone like that? I mean, that's terrible. Because the abuser feels superior, and if you're not obeyed, punishment's going to happen. Oh, and you know what the punishment is. Anger, silent treatment, verbal put-downs, withdrawal from the relationship, and the worst is using the children, especially in divorce situations where they use the children as a manipulative tool to keep wounding the other one. That is very, very abusive and wrong because that person in those marriages, those kids, that's their mom or dad. And they're going to find out on their own the flaws of the parent. But for one parent to totally, and this we see this a lot in our society today, where they pit the kids against each other. And those poor kids, they grow up a mess. Many of them have mother issues or father issues as a result of who's controlling them. But they use the children in their battles. And they're always throwing them under the bus, the other mate, and they're always smear camp. You have to know, let the kids find out for themselves. If they're an abuser, there's some things you need to say, but on the other hand, if there's just so much that goes on that shouldn't be happening. The kids should not hear it. The kids don't need to feel like they have to make a choice at some point because that's their mom and their dad. So I've had a lot of experience with this. But if you cross me, you're going to see pain. That's an abusive person. If you cross them, my opinion, what I believe, and they want to force you to believe what they believe. You have to be on my ship. If it's either my way or the highway, that's an abusive person. If you show strength or individuality, they will minimize your feelings and your opinions. When you stand up to these narcissists or you stand up to these abusers, it's instant pain because they're going to make you feel bad and then you doubt yourself. You doubt what your reality is. And this is what I had problems with in the church. They make you doubt your reality. You can't say you're going through something. You can't say you're sick or you're going. Your reality is you're healed, period. You don't have anything else to say. That's very abusive. That's an abusive system. Amen. That we've come out of. And it made us doubt ourselves. Well, God must not love me then. This is total abuse that most of us have come through because they make you doubt your reality. And this is what abusers do. They make you doubt how you feel, that you want to put up a boundary, and they call that boundary wrong, whether it be sexual abuse or anything. They force their way onto you. And if you don't do it, then they're going to blame you. You're the problem. But a wise and safe person is confrontable, and they do accept feedback. Just a little more here. It's hard when we go inside and we have to deal with stuff. It's almost like, ah! Victims begin to doubt themselves, and then they feel responsible. Their responsibility, Velcro. Everything, it's my fault. I could have changed it. They got mad. It was my fault they got mad. Anybody can relate to that? It's always your fault. And then you get confused. Usually if you're talking to somebody and they're an abuser, they will confuse you and your reality all of a sudden gets lost. You're being manipulated. They're trying to make you doubt your reality, what's real. They're trying to make you take on their opinions. And remember, God gave you a free will. And choose, you get to choose, and we'll have to stand for the consequences of our choices. But right now, we have to repent when we can, hallelujah. But nobody has the right to make you feel and make their reality your reality. Even with doctrine, there's people that are so abusive. You believe the way I do or else. Really. God gave us a free choice. We're not supposed to be Pharisees and Sadducees and manipulators and, you know, you give this much or else, or everybody that's going to give this, get on the stage so we can all see you. And all this stuff that we've come through, I'm so thankful you're still serving the Lord, people, because the garbage and the junk and the manipulation and the abuse that we've all seen in these systems, the fact you're still serving God, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. But abusers are deniers. You tell them that they're abusing you, they'll say you're the problem. About the way they treat others, they don't see it, they don't want to see it. They became calloused, hard-souled, and that's why they don't have any empathy. They can't put themselves in your shoes because they don't want to. They're tired of dealing with emotions and pain, so they want to cut off pain. And as a result, they have broken relationships their whole life because they never come back to reconcile or to humble themselves, to repent, to say they're sorry. You never hear an abusive person say they're sorry unless it's going to get them something. But an abusive person, they'll say they're sorry just to get you back in their life or to hurt you again. So that's why you have to look at behaviors, not their words, because they're charmers. Now in closing, to have healthy relationships, we must face truth. Now here's a big one. Are you ready to face truth? Difficult relationships are caused by two people, the person who abuses and the person who allows it. Sometimes we've allowed it and we haven't put up our boundaries because we didn't want to lose the relationship. An example, Joseph. No, when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, what does he do? He put up a boundary and he ran. He left the coat right in her, right there and took off, right? He put up a boundary when she tried to seduce him, and he paid for it. When we put up boundaries to people, you have to be willing to lose the relationship. And that's why Samson didn't put up a boundary with Delilah. He kept saying it, and she kept overriding his, oh, the Philistines be upon you, the Philistines will be upon you. But he kept taking down his boundary. What'd she do? She kept on guilting him. She was an abusive person. And he did not keep a boundary. He put up a boundary, and this is the other thing, if you're going to put up one, you got to keep it. And he put up a boundary towards Delilah. She kept running over it because abusive people don't like the word no. They will run over your boundaries. And as a result, he did not want to lose Delilah. If he would have been smart, like Joseph was, even though he paid a price, we know that Joseph paid a price. He was accused. He was abusive people. If they don't get their way, they will smear you, throw you under the bus. But Samson did not want to lose Delilah, so he stayed in the relationship, and it cost him. It costs us when we stay in relationship with abusive people. We can't change people. But we can put up boundaries and say what we will and what we will not allow. If you're married to and they constantly yell at you, you can walk away and say, I will not talk to you while you're yelling at me. What gives you the right to yell and scream and abuse another person and think that that's okay? Well, they don't listen to me. What's with your tone? Your tone says a lot. And a lot of people are used to yellers. They're yelling from their mom and dad's yelling, and other people are quiet. They talk. So you mix the two together, and we have quite the circus. So Samson didn't want to lose the relationship. And sometimes when you put up a boundary, And I love that one. This one person always says, you can't choose the outcome. People have choices, and if you put up a boundary and say no, what would have happened if Samson would have kept his boundary with Delilah? His whole life would have been different. Thank God he repented and he changed, but he didn't keep his boundary with her. And as a result, she abused him, and he paid the consequences. Abuse wears many faces. It can be loud or quiet. It can be abrasive or smooth. Psalms 55:21. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. We're talking about manipulators. We're talking about charmers, deceitful people. They can come on so sweet. It's fake concern. Narcissists are there's a whole scale of narcissistic abuse, and we're seeing it unfold more and more on Facebook, aren't we? People can't even talk anymore. They got to fight. They got to argue. They got to be right. Flattery, charmers, or now we have the positive. Don't be negative narcissists. The positive narcs. Fake concern of the manipulators. Delilah, the abuser, ran down Samson's boundaries. She never received his no. If you have people in your life, they don't receive your no, then you're going to have to take another boundary. And you have to be willing to be able to stand to that boundary. Maybe take a step back. Maybe not receive their calls. I mean, whatever state you're in, the Holy Spirit has to help you. But to stay in abusive relationships, God's not for that. God is not for abuse, misuse, for people controlling and manipulating the other one. Delilah just kept saying, if you loved me, Samson, if you loved me. What was that? Pure manipulation and deception. So they can come off really sweet. Healthy relationships, in closing, are based on mutual respect. Are you in a relationship where it's one-sided with friends? You do all the giving, they do all the taking? It should be respect. Do you respect the people in your life? That means I want to hear your point of view. Because if you don't respect them, you don't care what they think. And this is the other thing I found in abusive families coming through this. People are very sarcastic. It's a tool of the abused person because that makes them feel superior. But you know what it does? It wounds. You're wounding. You're laughing, but you're hurting. You're still harming. You're doing great harm. And when you come to these family gatherings and they're abusing each other through sarcasm, that's wrong. That's using your wit to put them down. And it makes you feel one up. I feel better. But really what it is low self-esteem. You have to use a tool of abuse to feel better. So we don't want to do that. And a lot of us have come from families like that. Don't even ask me to repeat that. You can have difficult opinions. You can have different opinions if you respect somebody. Compromise, apologize, resolve. And you can have disagreements. Some people think, well, I have to submit so I can't disagree, and you end up being a doormat. You have to know that it's okay to disagree agreeably. It's okay to have different opinions. People here have different opinions on everything. You watch the news. They have different opinions about themselves a minute ago. Everything's confusing. This is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. Well, we're changing the laws. We're changing this. It's going to get terribly confusing as darkness increases in these end times. So what do we need to do? We need to have healthy relationships. We need to know the people that are around us, especially in these end times. Know who your friends are. Know who the safe people are in your life. Know the ones you got to step back from and say, they're going to harm. They've hurt me before. If you get a bad wound from somebody, you better be careful because there's another one coming. So what have we learned through life? We fall, but we get back up again with another lesson. We're never going to have it all together, but that's why God does and Jesus does, because we walk and we follow with him. People are always going to disappoint you. You're going to disappoint yourself. But our goal is to have a conscience that God can speak to us, that we can repent, that we can be safe with people that we love. And as these times grow darker, that we know who is in our life. We know those that we can talk to, and we know those that we should not share information with. Some people use everything you have gone through to use it against you. That is so wrong right there. As someone that's counseled people my whole life, I actually love people the more they tell me what they've gone through, because I understand now why they act the way they do. But you don't say, well, they were manipulated and abused and they were raped and they were this, and you going around tell everybody. You're a dangerous person then, because nobody can share their heart and their secrets with you. So you got to learn to be trustworthy, and that's a test. That's something we're all learning and growing in. But we want to be safe people. Amen? Amen? So, Father, we thank you that you help us through this journey of relationships in and out of church and in families and boss situations. Everybody finds themselves at a different place. But we need to, first of all, judge ourselves. We want to keep a soft heart. We don't want to have this hard, calloused heart or anxiety and fear from abuse of our past. We want to walk into the future with you and with our friends, and we need people around us to help us with our blind spots that won't abandon us when they see we've made a mistake. They won't reject us. They won't neglect us, but they'll be honest. Those honest people that tell us lovingly confrontations, it's you working through them to help us. And we just thank you for those people, and we want to be one of those people. So we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
We don't know what's going to happen with Facebook or with YouTube, but if you can't find us, you can always locate us at livinginhispresence.org, and there'll be some announcements below here that you can see. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but at this point in time, we're planning to continue to go on. But if not, always find us at livinginhispresence.org, our own website.
Be sure to hit the subscribe button and hit the bell button so you can be notified of the newest videos. We are viewer supported. If you would like to donate, please go to livinginhispresence.org. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a give button. Thank you, and see you next time.